We were glad when they said unto us, let us come into the house of the Lord. We all come just as we are, loved for who we really are by God, and called to accept one another, surrounded by love. Let us remove these masks of pretense and greet one another with signs of love and peace. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let us offer that peace to one another. Clap your hands, all ye people. Okay, we gotta try that again. Clap your hands, all ye people. God has gone up with a triumphant shout. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Truly, that we can lean into God's everlasting love and mercy. Let us confess our sins with the assurance of God's grace. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now we offer our confessions to you, O God, in silence. Hear this wonderful and interruptive news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
A closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My friends, a very important season is upon us. March Madness. Yeah! I'm so glad you love basketball as much as my family does. And unfortunately, it's really hard for me to think about March Madness without the echoes of March Madness 2019 stirring, or maybe haunting is a better word for it, my soul. I'll set the scene for you. The Auburn Tigers are in the NCAA tournament for their second year in a row after some pretty big lags in appearance. The path to the championship game is full of blue bloods. Kansas, UNC, Kentucky, yeah, boo. It's a real David versus Goliath situation, and Auburn beats all of them. Some of them by a lot, UNC. Yeah, yeah. There were some great memes after that game. So we get to the Final Four game. It's Auburn versus Virginia, and Auburn plays the game of their life. They're ahead by 62-60 with a few seconds left on the clock. Virginia has the ball, dribbles down the floor, pulls up for a three-point shot, misses it. Our house goes bananas. Yes, we are going for the first time ever as a school to the championship game. Except, do y'all know this story? Some of you know it too well. A foul is called on Auburn on the three-point shooter. So if you know your basketball, you know that Virginia now has the chance for three shots. And if you know math, you know that doesn't bode well for Auburn. They make every shot, and Virginia wins the game, or Auburn loses, 63-62. And to make matters worse, while they're doing all this reviewing, because you know there's some of that involved, it shows that Virginia has actually double dribbled up the court, and they missed it, taking a moment that was already pretty horrible. Yes. Oh, I knew my people would feel this. It's devastating. And if you ask Auburn fans about this game to this day, they will tell you that Virginia what? Double dribbled. Virginia doubled. They did cheat too. Good job, Stacy. That Final Four run is the lived experience and expression of what it feels like to be riding the highest of highs and have it drop to the lowest of lows in an instant. It still hurts a little bit to talk about it. What do we do when something is so good and delightful and it all of a sudden turns and it's painful? and exhausting. Kind of like snow and ice on the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh day. What once was us living our best life, doing it for the gram, quickly turns into cabin fever, fatigue, and impatience. And as we approach another pretty big season of Lent, I find myself thinking about these transitions in life that we have on what feels a bit like a roller coaster sometimes, right? Where one minute we're up, and before we know it, we're descending down at a rapid pace. And I know we've had a little bit of fun talking about a sporting event, but the truth is, I think everybody knows this feeling all too well. And in some ways, we're anticipating something really similar tonight. What does it mean for us to go from a night like tonight with this kind of music, and we're dancing and spinning and kicklining down the aisle, right? It's joyful. It's abundant. And then we ask you to come back tomorrow and pivot to Ash Wednesday. I've never really heard the moniker fun used for Ash Wednesday, although I may actually have used it because I really love Ash Wednesday. I find it to be fun. How do we transition? How do we celebrate these two consecutive days and live into them faithfully? Well, let's take a look at Jesus' baptism story, because it offers us a little bit of a lens into the highs and lows, so to speak. Often, and rightfully so, when we look at Jesus' baptism story, we pay close attention to the beauty of this experience for Jesus and for all of those that are there with him. He's called into the baptismal waters by John. When he comes up out of them, we're told the heavens open, a dove descends, and Jesus is affirmed as the Son of God, with whom God is pleased. This is like peak moment for Jesus, kind of a core memory, you might say. With that said, we rarely take a look at what happens right after that. The lectionary actually tends to end with the affirmation of Jesus' belovedness, and we don't get to witness the reality of the aftermath. Mark, in his matter-of-fact and often hurried way, tells us the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. At its most basic level, Jesus' baptism story and what follows tells us that life's ebbs and flows are all part of the experience. I feel like I need to clarify, though, really quick. I'm not upholding some sort of idea that every time something good happens, be ready for the shoe to drop. God is not cruel. God is not in the business of taking you to your highest place just to let you fall. Rather, I'm inviting you to live into the rhythms of life, to acknowledge that delight and the wilderness can coexist. As we look toward Lent, I'm inclined to believe that our joy from today will serve as an anchor for our journey through this season, and it asks us to consider what it means to be human and to rely on God. See, joy and delight are not juxtaposed against Lent. Rather, I believe they're a part of it. In Jesus' baptism, God delights in him. He is well pleased. And then Jesus is ushered into the wilderness, but not without knowing his belovedness. That experience of baptism will be what helps him in the wilderness. Brené Brown's research on vulnerability tells us that those who are the most vulnerable are those who embrace wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness comes from the belief that we're worthy of love and that we have the courage to risk vulnerability. Her research shows that you can't selectively numb emotion. You don't get to pick and choose which things you're going to feel. You can't say, I'm going to put fear and shame and discomfort over here because I don't really like that. Because when you numb those things, you also numb your capacity for joy and gratitude and happiness. Basically, we have to be open to what we deem as negative emotions so that we can experience the positive. Dan Levy has a new movie out called Good Grief. Makes me think of Charlie Brown. Good grief. In the movie, one of the characters looks at another one and says, "To avoid sadness is also to avoid love." It's a call to embrace that life is both and. And in my experience, that's when God is the most present. And I love Lent, and Ash Wednesday is fun, because I think it gives us permission to embrace the both and of life, enough to recognize our humanity and that God delights in us, for we were also created very good. And when we know our belovedness, when we're able to engage in the both and, it gives us the ability to walk through the wilderness knowing that God is with us through all of it. In a mystical way, when we are most human, we are most in touch with the divine. These two are not exclusive of one another, but instead they form this beautiful relationship of mutuality where you can't experience the fullness of the divine without experiencing the fullness of humanity. One of the things that I love most about the author, Kate Bowler, is her willingness to live this way. She is in so many ways the archetype of embracing the paradoxes of life. She was in Nashville this past weekend. Some of you may have seen her. A group of us went to see her. She was here promoting her book, A Beautiful, Terrible Day. Tells you a little bit about the book. It is a collection of blessings and stories that gets at the heart of the complexity of life and being human. And I thought I'd share with y'all one of the blessings out of that book that seems to kind of fit. It's entitled, For Living Without Control. God, I come to you as I am. It's all I have, really. And the next one I'm conscious of will be the same. I can feel the way I move, moment to moment, without the comfort of solutions. It seems wild to me now how I imagined any once and for all cure for this, or a master plan to ensure things will work out. But truth be told, that's always been my secret hope. So Lord, let's try again. I am begging for a new plan. I want a plan that's an unplan. I must keep moving and planning, trying and changing, knitting my days together even as they unravel. So can we do this together? Remind me to pray. Come, Lord. Quiet the worry. I step and you steady me. I give and you keep my hands open. I act and you fortify me with courage to try and try and try again. This life is uncertain, Lord, but your love is not. You tell the story of my life, regardless of how little I know about how it ends, except to say, you were there since the beginning, and you appear on every page. Amen.
In response to the proclamation of the gospel, I invite you to stand and to please join me in our affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, and life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to take your seats. And however you feel comfortable to engage in a posture of prayer, to join me in this moment, praying for our church, for the world, and for all creation. Let us pray. God of feasting, we give you thanks for the richness of life. As Jesus turned water into wine at Cana and feasted with his followers, we remember your desire for all your people to celebrate life and life eternal. Bless us as we relish the joy of being your people and dance in the delight of your steadfast love. Send your spirit to dance and to sing with us, to lift up our voices with the bird songs of all creation and the singing of your praise. As we enter the season of Lent, may it too be a celebration of life, of an inward journey of contemplation and wondering, of learning and exploring, of humility and curiosity, of becoming beginners again, and the journey of discovering your unending love. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to remember the life of your Son, the celebration, the suffering, the patience, the holding on to love, even unto death. And in all of this, may we experience the joy and the pain of life together, so that we might grow closer to Jesus, to one another, and to you. And then in so doing, that we might join you in the work of healing and renewing and raising up all of creation. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce the year of Jubilee, when you had canceled debts and liberate your people. Jesus healed the sick, he fed the hungry, and he ate with sinners as he does tonight. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your beautiful church, and you delivered us from our slavery to sin, shame, and death, making with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, and he gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and again gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here this night and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all glory and honor is yours, O God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now, with the confidence of children of God, if you will join me in the words that Jesus taught us, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Though we are many, we are one in the body of Jesus Christ. This cup in which we share is a sharing in the overflowing love and delight of God, which spills forth from our lives in acts of love, justice, and mercy. Tonight, friends, I want to give you just a couple of words of instruction to orient our time together of receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion. One of the great gifts of the Methodist tradition is our belief that this is a table with an open invitation. You need not be a baptized member of any church. You need not be a member of this church to come and receive the elements tonight. If you feel God is nudging you to come and taste and see, we invite you to this table. You have a place here. Jesus wants you to feast. We also tonight will receive the elements through the practice of intinction. That means you'll be given a small piece of bread that our communion servers will hand to you. You need not pinch after God's goodness. There's more than enough. So if you come forward and just open your hands in a posture of receipt, our communion servers will place that bread in your hand. You'll then dip that piece of bread into the communion cup and receive both elements at the same time. Our ushers will help you come forward row by row. And you'll see that we have three stations. We'll have a station right in front of me here and then two stations on the side. We invite you to go, as you come down the center aisle, to the station that is open on your respective side. So if the center station is occupied and there's a line there, then if you could go to the station that is not occupied on your side. Also want to invite you tonight to the wonderful communion offering that we have the opportunity to engage in. Our communion offering will be throughout the Lenten season a gift to our brothers and sisters who are doing beautiful work at Open Table Nashville. Open Table Nashville is committed to relational outreach, which involves journeying with unhoused and precariously housed individuals and families, being a consistent presence in the homeless community, advocating with the marginalized, and creatively networking available resources. We partner with others to provide a salary to a Westside outreach worker that covers the area our church is in. And this outreach worker takes referrals from the church to help walk with folks as they navigate these resource needs. Our goal for each year is $10,000 to fulfill our obligation to this salary, and anything over will go towards our commitment next year. You can give by check made out to West End, mark Open Table Nashville in the memo line, or online with a designated gift to Open Table Nashville. If you seek to respond tonight through the giving of a gift, you can also leave that gift in the plates that are at the sides of the first pew. Brothers and sisters, the table is set. Come, taste and see that indeed the Lord is good.
Thank you.
in which we have celebrated, I invite you to stand and to join me in our prayer after receiving communion. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Now we give ourselves for others. Your love has made us a new people. As a people of love, we will serve you with joy. Your glory has filled our hearts. Help us to glorify you in all things. Amen.
Beautiful, terrible night in the name of Jesus, who brings us into the both and with grace and joy. Amen.